Akodaner Shabbos, we are now, Bez Hashem, going to begin. Shir number 140. Shir Mazel Pliskin and another Svarim regarding healthy self-esteem, which a big part of it is to break the unhealthy shoulds that we've been speaking about the last few weeks. And now we're going to talk about strategies, things you can do to remove some of those unhealthy shoulds. The first thing, of course, is to know yourself. Da es atzmecha. Begin with insights in your own behavior. Ask yourself, why are you doing things that you're doing? Is it really necessary? Is it not necessary? Ask yourself if you really believe that this is the correct way to go. Or is it just that you happen to be accustomed to behaving a certain way? An example of this, I would say, is like this. If, let's say, someone learns some aspects of Hilchos Shabbos, doesn't know it that clear, but they see other people being machmer on things, or they assume in their head that you're not allowed to do certain things. It could be the other way around, that you think you could do certain things. Either way. But in a situation, for example, that you in your mind think something is not allowed and it's stuck in your head, or Pesach is not allowed and you're stuck in your head, and you may think it's a minute, but you never really asked your father, you're making assumptions on things, and you're placing hardships on your wife and your family. And a lot of it could be taka, or if it's a real minig, okay. If it's a real halacha, okay. But very often it's a figment of your imagination because you didn't really know Hilchos Shabbos that well. And because you didn't know it that well and you're worried about being over something, so you're going to say, I'll be careful and I'll say it's usser. In the meantime, it's totally mutter. In the meantime, a rav would tell you, allow yourself that heter because otherwise you're making your family nuts. But you don't ask anything. And you don't know enough, and you haven't learned the halachas well, and even if you learned the halachas well, you don't know how to apply them well, and you don't have a rav, or you can't find one, or you know you have one, and you just don't ask him, and he would clarify right away, this is okay, this is not okay, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, and it'll save so much agmas nefesh. It'll make your life easier, you'll experience Einu Shabbos in a more beautiful way, your wife will be more happy, and relaxed because you're not driving her crazy. The Pesach won't be Gehenim because you won't have to peel every single vegetable. The Rav may tell you you want to have your own ketchup, then make it yourself. Don't let you make your wife make it. And until you make it yourself, she buys it from the store. I've heard that said several times by several Rabbanim based on what I was told. And he wanted to peel everything, and he wanted to do this, he wanted to do that, and the Rebbe or the Rav said, fine, you do all this yourself, no problem. You want your wife to do it? No, she buys the ketchup. She buys the sugar. She doesn't make the ketchup. She doesn't make the sugar. So on and so forth. You make a list of all those rules. And you see what's mamash not negay. If you write it up, you'll realize a lot of them are plain old stupid conventional behaviors. You even kvetch about it, but you have trouble getting rid of your own rules. And you'll see a lot of times it's this type of shtus. Once you write it up and you look at it, you'll see how ridiculous it is, and you don't even have to ask a rav and you let it go. Some things you may need to because you thought it was something good that you held on to. I'll give you one mushel of this shikol hadas. It's really a lot of what we're saying here, really, is perek chaf of Mesillas Yesharim Mishkal HaChasidus. To weigh your actions. Another example of this, for example, is some people have a minig to say the whole tillim before shachris every day. Now that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But very often someone gets so wiped out from the kavana they had from saying tehillim the entire thing that when it comes to psuka de zimra, their mind is shot. They can't concentrate anymore. And the shemayna esra is shot. They can't concentrate on that anymore. They were on overload. Then we're not, this idea that we think that we are these type of tzaddikim, like the Amshon of a Rebbe or the Ribnitzer that could be in tefillah for 8 hours straight, and we live in this olam ha-demyonis of imagination thinking we could be the same thing, that's gaiva. So if a person knows that if he says the whole tillim and he wakes up 5 a.m. on Shabbos, so when it hits 8 o'clock or 8 o'clock meaning or 9 o'clock meaning, whatever meaning he goes to, that his brain is fried and he's sleeping by Kriyas HaTorah because he's wiped out, a rav, a manig, a madrach may tell him just read one sefer a week. Not the whole Tehillim. Something like that. So that when he goes into Shacharis, he's not totally worn out. So then when he goes into Shacharis, he can actually daven Pesukah DeZimra properly, Birchas Kriya Shema properly, Shemoneh Esrei properly, hear Kriyas HaTorah properly, and Musaf, and so on and so forth. That's one, just one example I'm giving, but there's so many of them. You write down your Hanhagos. Write down what's internal, what's a pneumistic thing that you're doing or you're thinking. Or you're trying to practice. What is an external thing? What things do you think you're doing because of your culture? Now, if you live in a kehillah, or you're part of a chassidus, or a yeshivish group of some sort, and they all follow a certain thing, and you want to follow the tzibber, then it may make sense, or probably does make sense, that you follow along those lines. So again, you know, you don't rock the boat. If, for example, they make you wear, I'm not talking about crazy glasses that are, you know, purple with things dangling off from it. You had a normal pair of glasses, and now it's usser. You have to wear only this pair of glasses, right? Okay, so if you have the money, and you could do it, and it doesn't look bad, and you're fine with it, then conform. Why not? Why shake the boat? Doesn't make a difference. This glasses, that glasses. You want it this way? No problem. To conform that way is not the end of the world. But when the glasses that for some reason is now the tzaddik glasses cost three times the price, then something should niggle in your head. Epis shtimt nishtu. You could still do it if you want. It's worth the price. Kol hakavod. You could do what you want. But if you say to yourself, I'm not going to be a mindless robot, you know, but on the other hand, why shake the boat? Why make a big stink about the glasses I'm wearing? So I'll pay triple the price. Big deal. I'll live with it. Or my friends are wearing it. I don't want to look like a freak or an eiswarf or chalila like the Sheva Dunn part of it that got kicked out of the Nani Akavit and a Malik start with him. If I wear the wrong pair of glasses, a Malik is going to start up with me. So I'm not going to leave it as is. You get the drift. The same idea also is how many rules you impose on other people. How many rules are imposed on you? And how many rules are imposed by other people, that you impose on other people? You could have that same bad midah on other people, even on your own children. You saw from your parents certain things, you're not sure if they're minhagim. Some of them may have not been not healthy behaviors, they're not a minig at all. And you're pushing that on your kids. Think about it. What's healthy for your kids? What's not healthy for your kids? Is it really a minig? Is it not really a minig? These things you have to ask chum. In the older Dara, you had Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov of Kamenetsky, other Gedolei Yisrael, and on the Hasidish side of things, also tremendous tzaddikim that could give insights into these things. We don't have too many of them now. Or maybe we have, and they're just hidden, and we have to find them. But that is really the key. You think of decisions you make, you try to live in the present moment, again, b'chol derechecha do'eyu, what Hashem wants you at this given time. And remove unhealthy shoulds, keep healthy shoulds. One big yesod overall is not to wait for others to change. You make the decision to change on your own, right? And again, we're going to talk about now very briefly this concept again of not blaming others. So we're going to give a couple of examples, right? I don't like that I'm too fat. Who's to blame? My mother. Bad genes, metabolism, or for Goyim, McDonald's, or for Eden, because they have holy schnitzies right around the corner, or Kosher Delight, or Chapanash. What's it my fault that there's a Chapanash right across the street from me? Vus kenichtin. Or I have Mendelssohn's pizza there, or I get a discount on something, or my work sends every day lunches that are like, you know, very fatty stuff. That's why I'm fat. Nothing to do with me. I have poor eyesight. Also, parents are at fault. Grandparents are at fault. Genetics. It's because I have too much homework. You know, it's Con Ed. The lighting isn't good enough. Or I'm lousy in math. Oh, that's my elementary school teachers. That's my sister who didn't help me with the homework enough. I don't have math genes. Again, of course, my mother is at fault. In the meantime, it could be that's not your strong point, math. So you accept it. It's not your strong point. Not the end of the world. You'll use it for what you need it. You're not going to be a mathematician, Nebuch. You'll learn what you need to learn. You have calculators. You have other things, Excel, that can help you with it. I'm too tall. Again, genetics. You blame God. You blame your mother. That's not your fault you're too tall. And there's no such thing as being too tall or too short. Hashem made you the way you are. Why are you unhappy? Okay, here's a big one. I'm unhappy because of the economy. We're on a downturn. The Dow Jones is making me unhappy. My children hate me. That's what's making me unhappy. I have a bad cold. That's what's making me unhappy. I was going to eat the cholent. I was so excited, and I got up in the morning and it was all burnt, and I can't eat the cholent. That's what's making me unhappy. I was going to buy Lakshinkugel. I want the sweet one, and instead I got the pepper one. It was the wrong thing. That's why I'm unhappy. Women, same thing. They kill themselves by beating themselves up. I'll be very blunt. My breasts are too small. My breasts are too big. Again, whose fault? Mother. Genetics. Luck. I didn't have enough nourishment. God put me in the wrong line to make me a freak because my breasts are too small. While the popular girls in school, they have it perfect in that area. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. So again, warped thinking. Not realizing Hashem made you special the way you are. You don't have to be anyone else. You don't need to be anyone else. And you're good just the way you are. And you make the most of what Hashem gives you. And you have so many brachas that you do have, that you blind yourself to. And you ignore it because you're worried and you're obsessed. You're obsessed with your struggle in math or your small breasts or that your hair is the wrong color. Why did God give me right bread right here? There's a whole group of people that they don't like, you know, they wouldn't go out with someone with red hair. Nebuch, red hair. Read Sherlock Holmes' book. It's called The Red-Headed League. Very interesting story. But again, who are you going to blame? Hereditary. The sun. The sun's at fault. Right? You're worried about the state of the world. It's terrible. What's going on? Of course. Whose fault is it? Donald Trump. Again, I'm not talking politics here. I'm not getting into that. But you get the idea. You pick on something. Communists. Humanity. In the meantime, it's whatever it is. The question is to you, what am I going to do about why I'm here in this world to make this place better? Right? My neighbors are nasty. It's the neighborhood, kinds of people, so on and so forth. Now, if there is an aspect of neighbors that are not healthy, then you move. Or do your best to move or isolate yourself or protect yourself. It doesn't mean, we talked about it last time, when you say you don't blame others, it doesn't mean that they don't have negative aspects they have to protect yourself from. Doesn't mean you don't have a valid point when your neighbor is really being nasty to you or is blaring loud noise. You know, you have to be realistic when we talk about this. When you can't sleep because your neighbor right near you is blasting music and you had a bad night. So here is when you don't say, now who are you going to blame my lack of sleep on? To say you're blaming yourself, it's not your neighbor, that's not really honestly intellectually true. That person blared the noise. Al pi Shulchan Aruch, they're probably a mazik to you. They gezel shina. So it doesn't mean that. Of course, they're responsible. When I say you don't blame them, it does not mean that you don't hold them accountable. But what it means is that in your internal state, you can make a decision. Hashem placed this Nisayan before me. I have to do something with his blaring music. I'm not going to let it go. I may call the police. I may call the neighbors together. Do something to get this, or call the, you know, put a warrant out, ask a shayla about it to get this neighbor to lower the volume of the music they're playing or to stop having these parties that are disturbing you. Of course you do the hishtadlus. But if the next day you're a grouch, so you could tell yourself, yes, the neighbor created this situation that I had a lack of sleep and that's why I'm overtired and I'm irritable. But then you to pull a switch in your brain, I'll deal with the neighbor separately the way Hashem wants me to get them to stop. In the meantime, what's my avoided for today? I am overtired, but I'm going to try not to be a grouch. I'm not going to try not to be irritable. It's Same thing with, I don't feel well. You know, it's the metabolism, it's your period, it's the doctor, it's the food, it's the heat, it's the cold, it's the wind, it's the rain, it's the pollen. And the truth is, like I said, the period does cause someone not to feel well. That's true. The food sometimes does. The heat could create an effect. The cold too, the wind too, the rain too. So again, you have to listen to the distinction I'm making. There's the blaming of it, and then there's the doing something about it. You follow what I'm saying? So in other words, if the heat really makes you ill, then you try to either live in cooler climates or have a good air conditioning system. No one's saying you shouldn't do that. But you don't blame the heat, right? You don't blame it. You work on your own regulation to adjust to that nisayin of that it's a little too hot for you and that's causing you not to feel well. You don't blame the rain for making it, when the slush, they're making you miserable. Now, does it create a little damper on your mood? Of course it does. Is it nicer to have sunny outside? Of course it does. The Torah says, Chodesh Aviv. If the Torah says, Chodesh Aviv, that spring is beautiful. And Hashem did not create a situation where there's slush and rain and sleet. That means that Hashem is moider, that rush, slush and rain and sleet could cause some distress. No one's denying that. But when we say here, don't blame, it means don't act accordingly. Don't let your internal structure be shaken by the fact that it has slush or sleet outside. You keep your equilibrium. You keep your balance. And that is the sight of it. Bracha v'atzlacha.